who would lead them. Oh. Would Remy like to go downstairs? She's undecided. Or are people that are on the list that are supposed to lead aren't here today? Amen. Remy would be good. You'll be good, right? You want to sit with Grandma through the service? Does Grandma want Remy to sit with her through the service? Amen. We've only got a few children. I trust they'll be fine. For the rest of us, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. There's a couple of verses here that one of them we read often because it's part of the Celebrate Recovery program, the verse 1 in Romans chapter 12. But verse 2 is a verse that just continues to just stir in my heart, and it's something that I have found to be very powerful. And so I want to read these two verses this morning, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your presence in this place. God, speak to our hearts and change our lives today. Have your way with your word. Spirit, fill my lips with what ears need to hear. And God, let our ears be open to hear what it is that you have to say to us today. So God, bless each and every one. And be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how is God glorified through the message? Well, when our hearts attend to what God calls us to in His Word, when we take it seriously, when we respond to it, God is lifted up and glorified. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this is the New King James translation, which I like to preach from the New King James translation. It's kind of like a really good neutral place between the King James translation, which how many know people that, oh, King James only, right? That's the only Bible, and it's it's a cross between that and other translations. Now, I would consider the Message, I don't know if you read the Message Bible. I've tried to read the Message Bible, and that one's just way, way out there for me. There's some verses I really love. There's some verses like, boy, I really don't know about that. But regardless, I like to preach from the New King James. However, the NIV, which I know that through the years I've criticized a little bit the NIV, but I've found the NIV, the New International Version, to be just another very good translation of the Bible. And I want to look at these two verses in the NIV this morning, because they say it a little differently. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now you can see how just communicating the same principle with just a few different words can have a little bit greater meaning for us. And so that's why, you know, those who are King James only, God bless you. But it's important sometimes to look at other translations, because how many know that we all don't always communicate the same way, right? Somebody could say something that would be very powerful and impactful in your life, but if they say it in a way that just doesn't connect with the way your brain works, you might not catch it. But if it's worded another way, all of a sudden it has meaning, and it becomes very real. And so I want to look at it this morning through the lens of the NIV. He says, therefore, I urge you. Paul was being very adamant about what he was trying to say to the Romans, to the Roman church. I urge you. You know, don't take it lightly, the passing words. I urge you. When somebody says, I urge you, you know, that's something you should pay attention to. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy. Now, God's mercy is a wonderful and beautiful thing because without it, we're doomed, right? So in view of his mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Your true and proper worship is to offer God everything that you are. He deserves it all. Not just a little bit. Not just, you know, half. But all of it. Offer to God your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. Now, the first thing that I want us to really catch about these two verses this morning is the idea that Paul makes a distinction between the body and the mind. He says he describes the body as holy and acceptable to God, but he says that the mind, that needs to be transformed. Now, most of us, when we look in the mirror, we look at our bodies and we say, that needs to be transformed. Just saying. Trust me, I'm with you. My wife and I, we started walking. We're going to try to walk 3 miles a day, get back on a regimen of exercise. God gave me some extra exercise this week. I went out to do the weed eating on my ditch, and my weed eater quit working. And while I was trying to get my weed eater working, I'm telling you, I pulled both shoulder muscles and strained something in my chest. And that's like, wow, I am out of shape just trying to start that stupid weed eater. The next 2 days, I'm like... And what we do is we go to great lengths. My sister introduced me to an app you can download on your phone. It tells you how many steps you take and all this stuff. And we work really hard sometimes. Well, sometimes not. But when we decide that our bodies need to be transformed, we work really hard at it, don't we? A year ago or so, my wife and my sister, they did a 90-mile challenge. In the month of April, they walked 90 miles. They had to do it like 3 miles a day. And so we work really hard to transform our bodies. But Paul says here, you know what? Just offer your bodies to God. We all should understand by now that God is less concerned about what your body looks like than he is with what your mind is about. Praise God for that. Because some of our bodies... Paul says that our bodies, you know, this is interesting that he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What is it that corrupts a person? Is it your body or is it your mind? And so we offer to God our bodies. What's that mean? Lord, here it is. This is yours. Use it as you see fit. Take it to where you want it to go. Now, I'm not going to, you know, say it's not important to keep your bodies in shape and to think about, you know, transforming your bodies. If your body needs to be transformed, get to the gym, go for the walk, get the exercise, do whatever you got to do to stay healthy. It's, you know... There are people in this that, you know, we cut ourselves, our lives short sometimes. We kill this body sometimes by the things that we do, right? We put unhealthy things in, and the lifespan of the body gets diminished. And we all say, hey, you know what, I want a good long life. But then we do stuff to our bodies that says, no, you're not going to have a good long life. And so that is important. But the truth of it is, it's not your body that's the problem. It's your mind. This verse, verse 2. Be conformed by the transforming of your mind. It's the mind that needs to be transformed. And that's one of the hardest organs to change. We get in our stuck in our ways, right? Anybody, you never heard the word mindset? You know what a mindset is? A mindset is what you have fixed. It's a fixed way of thinking. Most times our mindsets will, you know, we fix our ways of thinking and we say, the way I think is the right way to think. And we stick our minds there. And sometimes, some people, anybody know somebody who's stubborn? Be careful. It's like one of those, it's like the old, the EGR phrase, you know, extra grace required. Some people, that's just how they are. There's extra grace required for them people. And if you can't figure out who that person is, there's a good chance it's you. And so as I say to you, how many know somebody who's stubborn? And you're like, I don't know. Well, maybe it's you. Somebody who's stubborn is somebody who has set their mind and they're not willing to change. They're not willing to change their mind. This is the way I think, and I think that my way of thinking is the right way of thinking, and therefore, that's my way or the highway. That's a mindset. Now, unfortunately, because we're born into this world, our ways of thinking gets molded and shaped by worldly things. And so Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Talking about being conformed. If you conform to the pattern of this world, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you conform to the pattern of this world, you will not be able to understand God's will. How many of us want to understand God's will? I hope we all do. This is one thing that I often talk about when I minister to others. Do you believe in God? Yes, I do. Well, if you believe in God, then you realize that you are not God. And then it's important to pay attention to what God says. Why? Because He's God. We all know that person that says, well, you know, I don't think I need to go to church. I got this thing, me and God, we got this thing. No, you don't have this thing. You think you have this thing, but what does God say about that thing? The only way you know is by reading His Word. See what it says. You read His Word, you see what it says, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's important to take a day off. We talked about the Ten Commandments last week, keeping the Sabbath. It's important to take that rest and take that day off. But it's important to live life according to God's will and way and not your own. Well, I just feel closer to God when I'm out in the woods. Good, go out in the woods and get close to God. But don't exclude the things that He told us in His Word to do. If out in the woods is your place of meditation, great, please do it often. But don't let that replace the fellowship with the church and being a part of an organized, you know, there are people say, I'm just totally against organized religion. Well, that's a mindset. Because God is all for organized religion, and that is a religion that is organized under His will and His way. Well, what's God's will and God's way? There's so many churches and so many denominations, and some do it like this and some do it like that. And who's to say who's right? The Bible's the one that says who's right. Does this mean that we, Geneva Assembly of God, we're the perfect church and we're the only church that gets it right? No, I'm pretty sure we probably don't do everything right. I wish I could say we do everything right. But we strive and we try to do things as best as we understand God wants us to do things. And some of our mindsets get in the way sometimes, right? Well, this is the right way to do it. Well, you know what? I fellowship with pastors and people from other denominations, and I absolutely love it. And you know what? I've encouraged people to go to other churches that, you know, if you can come here, great, come here. But I've encouraged people, if you can't get here, there's some other denominations I'll point you to. Why? Because I've built relationship with those pastors, and I know that they're men of God, and their mindset is to please Jesus Christ. And they're going to not lead you astray, but they're going to lead you closer to God. And I don't care whether it says Baptist Independent Community in front of it, or you put a label on it, Catholic, you put a label on there. It doesn't matter to me. If they're leading you to Jesus Christ, I will direct you to that church. Because I know that we don't, the Assemblies of God, don't hold the market on the only way to get to heaven. That's not. And if you got a church that says, you got to do it like us or you're not going to heaven, beware of that. You can easily be led astray. And you are at a place where they have a closed mindset. And so just be careful about that. But if we conform to the pattern of this world, we will not be able to understand God's will. Verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. And then at the end it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So what that's saying is, if we conform to the world, we will not be able to test and prove what God's will is. Why? Because the world has nothing to do with God. We get all shocked and amazed when we see all this horrible stuff going on in the world. How can this possibly be? It's because the world has nothing to do with God. Satan makes sure of it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is selfishness, pride. Get all you can. Step on your brother if you have to get it. Whatever the case may be. It's all about you. That's the pattern of this world. Me, myself, and I. I'm the most important person in the world. So therefore, whatever I got to do to be the king, I'm going to do it. The pattern of this world says it doesn't matter how you live or what you do or what you say or what you put into your body. It's all good. We all end up the same place anyway. No, we don't. We don't all end up the same place. All those who are following the pattern of this world, yeah, they're all going to be in the same place. But according to what God's word says, that's a place I don't want to be. And so I do not want to conform to the pattern of this world. But rather, I want to know God's will. So in order for me to do that, I have to transform this up here. I have found several different, you know, as I go out and I minister and I fellowship and I have a relationship with others, I have found, you know, different ideas of how to have the mind transformed. I know a gentleman who several years ago was just a mess. He had gone through a divorce. It was just this terrible deal, and he was angry, and he was in all of this stuff. And now he's one of the happiest people you could ever meet. What changed? His mindset. And now he goes out and teaches other people how to change your mindset. I watched a thing, I shared it online. I don't know if you guys saw it. This idea of how it's your thoughts that really cause you to feel. If you have bad feelings, it's because of your thoughts. It's what you think about circumstances and people and things that causes you to feel good or bad. And so we have to pay attention to what our thoughts are saying. If we could line up our thoughts with God's word, I believe we would experience a whole lot more of His joy, a whole lot more of His peace. But it's what's up here that matters. I saw another thing recently where they talked about how people hurt you. Anybody been hurt by a person? Not physically hurt, but I mean emotionally hurt by a person, right? Well, that person did not hurt you. It's your own thoughts that cause the pain. It's how you think about what that person has done that causes you pain. It's not what the person has done, but it's how you think about what that person has done. And I know that may be a hard concept to grasp, but if we become people like Jesus who are willing to accept that people are sinners, to the point where Jesus, knowing that we were sinners, came and put himself in a position where sinners would kill him, and he was okay with that. Why? Because it was what he thought about those sinners that mattered more than what they were doing to him. What did he think about those sinners? He loved them. He just loved them. That was his thoughts towards those people. He said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The way Jesus thought about the people that were putting him on the cross gave him the strength to hang on that cross. How does that make you feel when somebody does something terrible to you? All Jesus had was love and compassion for them people. You see, it's a different mindset. We can expect, let me say this to you. This might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but you can expect that somebody is going to do something to you that is hurtful if you allow it to be hurtful. Your family members, somebody's going to do or say something that will hurt you emotionally. Your friends, they're going to do or say something that will hurt you. There was one time I was with my best friend. I got a best friend. He's somebody who I've known since, I don't know, third or fourth, fifth grade, I don't know. My whole life. Him and I went out one time when I was back in the day when I was not living for Jesus. Him and I went out one time. I picked up this girl. She was my date for the night. Before the night was over, I'm driving her back home, and he's with her in the back seat of my car. He's my best friend. Wait a minute. That was my girl. Was as good. And some of you are thinking like, what? You know what I did? I took that girl back home, and I let my best friend get back in the front seat of my car, and we carried on like nothing ever happened. Because I was not going to allow that circumstance to hurt me. I could have lost a friend for life if I chose to let that situation hurt me. And for some, for some, you would have parked alongside the road, let them both out, and never seen any one of them again, right? As I look back now at the experiences I had before I got saved, I really question and wonder if God was using those experiences to test my character before I got saved. Because that's not normal. But you see, it's what you think about the situation that will either hurt you or set you free. And I decided I'm going to stay free. And I'm going to keep my friend. We're still best buddies to this day. We don't see each other very often, but it doesn't matter. You see, it's what you think that'll either give you joy or cause you to be not so full of joy. Don't conform to this world. I want to know God's will. If I conform to the world, I would have let both of them out, and that would have been the end of it, because that's what the world says you do. But instead, I believe it was God's will for me to maintain that relationship with my best friend. And I'm cool with it. I'm at peace with it. Now, fast forward that to today. Let's not even go there. Don't conform to this world. Now, pay attention to what your mind is doing. Do you realize that most people don't pay attention to what's going on in their head? Thoughts come, thoughts go, and they're it's almost like many people are like zombies. They're not living their life. They're just going by whatever thought passes through their head, and they're up and they're down and they're all around, and they're confused and they don't know what to do, and life is just coming at them so fast because that's the way the world works. And they're not paying attention to what's going on up in here. Pay attention to what the mind does, because that reveals what kind of heart you have. What kind of heart you have. Matthew 15:19 says, you know, talking about the heart and the mind, it's kind of difficult to make a distinction between the two. What the Bible says in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts. And so your thinking is driven by something, your heart, what's in your heart. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, and then all those things, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, all those things. And, you know, talking about what you think, if you look at the list there that it gives you in that verse, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, Jesus had a different way about thinking about things, didn't he? And this is one of the things why the Word of God is so important, to know what it says. Because Jesus, really, a lot of the things he said was dealing with how we think about things. Jesus said that if you hate your brother, it's the same as murder. Well, I've never murdered anybody. Have you ever hated somebody? Then yeah, you have. It's a different way of thinking. Talking about adultery and fornication, do you know why there's such a huge problem with pornography? It's because where you allow your mind to go. It's not necessarily what you do with your body. Jesus said if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. It's a different way of thinking. It's what's going on up here, not necessarily what's going on with the body. Well, I never touched her. Well, you sure thought about it. Beware. Be aware of what's going on. Pay attention to what your mind is doing, because it really speaks about what kind of heart you are. Now, if you pay attention, you realize real quick, oh my gosh, my heart is evil and wicked. How can I possibly know? What am I going to do? If you pay attention to what your mind is doing, you realize how desperately you need God in your life. That's an amen. Because what your mind is telling you, the things that you think, is telling you what your heart is like. And we realize, wow, do I need Jesus? Look at another couple of verses. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is just before God destroyed the world with a flood, wiped out all mankind except for Noah and his family. Why did he do that? Because every intent of the thoughts of the hearts was only evil continually. Pay attention to what's going on up here. If it's only evil continually, you got some serious issues. You got some problems with God. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Talking about what we're talking about this morning, out of the heart springs the issues of life. What in realizing that it's from the heart that, that creates all these terrible thoughts and this wickedness in us. You have issues because of the way you think. You realize that? Many of the issues in our lives are all about the way we think. That's why God said, Paul said to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of our issues, again, it's about what we think about a situation, not about what the situation actually is. And so you have to keep your heart with all diligence. Because that's where the issues of life either get to you or you overcome them. Pastor, I don't have any joy because I don't have any money. I don't have any joy because nobody likes me. I don't have any joy because none of that has anything to do whether or not you're going to have joy. You get your heart so focused on Jesus Christ, you get your mind so focused on God, you're going to have some joy. Because once you start, you know, getting away from the conformity of the things of the world, and start living the life that God has called you to live, thinking the way that He wants you to think, loving the way that He wants you to love, unconditionally. Love is supposed to be unconditional. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, He was willing to give His life for us. We can't demonstrate that kind of love for our neighbor. When all they did is drive by and not wave. I got one neighbor that, I don't know how he does it. You can't sneak by this guy's house. If he's outside, his hand goes up and waves. He could be, there could be the hood up on his vehicle and he's not even facing the road, and you try to sneak by out from the edge of his hood, you'll see his hand. Every time, without fail. That's a guy who loves his neighbors, I think. Somebody says something a little slanted to us. Oh, I'm so offended. Somebody cuts us off in line. There's a video online. We were watching it this week. Out in California. I don't know if you saw this video. Some car crossed a double solid line and cut off a guy on a motorcycle. Here's the what is that lane? That special lane where only certain people are supposed to be. Carpool lane. I don't know if motorcycles are allowed in that lane or not, but I don't know. The guy was in the lane, and a car cut him off. Chances are, from what I saw in the video, the car probably just didn't see the motorcycle. And you know what? I hate that. But it's a known thing. Cars don't see you. Cars are going to cut. If you drive a motorcycle, you need to drive it with the anticipation that somebody is going to cut out in front of you because they do not see you. Some cars don't see cars. And so anyway, the guy in the motorcycle, instead of loving his neighbor and saying, okay, yeah, all right, whatever, let's move on, have a nice day, pulls up alongside the car, kicks the car door, startles the driver. The driver swerves over, hits the barrier, spins out, goes across the lane, hits another vehicle, flips that vehicle over, and the motorcycle guy just drives away through all the mess. That's not unconditional love. We get so angry. Did the guy in the car deserve it? I guess it depends on your mindset. Be conformed by the renewing of this thing up here. What if the guy intended? I saw some posts, I read all the comments. oh, he intentionally tried to murder that guy in the motorcycle by swerving over in front of him. Well, I doubt that. But if he did, what's the guy in the motorcycle supposed to do? There was no issue until he decided to go up and kick the door. If we are going to be believers, if we are not going to conform to the ways of this world, if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know what the guy in the motorcycle does? Have a nice day. You tried to kill me this time. Didn't work. God says, vengeance is mine. Those who persecute you, bless them. If they need a drink, give them a drink. If they need some food, give them some food. It's a different way of thinking. Keep your heart with all diligence. I'll guarantee you that Satan probably walks up to God if because it could happen once, it could happen to every single one of us. Satan walks up to God. God, let me do this to Job and we'll find out if he worships you or not. And God says, sure, go ahead. That alone makes some of us angry. What? Really, God? It'll be back. And so sometimes I wonder if God puts these people in our lives and Satan says, hey, let me use that one to make him angry today. God says, okay. Just to test what's going on up here. To see what's really in here. Pay attention to what's going on up here. Because the way you think is what determines whether you are a worldly person or a godly person. Do you understand that? The way you think determines whether you are a worldly person or a godly person. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know the people, I work with a lot of people in recovery, a lot of addicts, a lot of people, not just addicts, but thieves, adulterers, all kinds of people I work with. The ones who turn to Jesus Christ, the ones who are willing to change the way they think, the way they see things, the ones that are willing to transform this up here are the ones that really get saved and their lives change. Many of them will say, and I ask this often, will you do whatever it takes to not live in this circumstance or this situation anymore? And most of them will say, yeah, absolutely, whatever it takes, Pastor. But then when they get out of jail or when stuff gets hard, they go right back to the same stuff. I thought you said you're willing to change that. Well, but no, it's you got to be transformed. Because the way you think determines whether you're going to be a worldly person or a godly person. Take everything. Everything you do, everything you think, every place you go, every person you see, all of the circumstance that comes to you on a moment-by-moment basis. You could use right now as an example. I'm sitting in church. That's a good thing. Hopefully while I'm sitting in church, I'm not thinking about all the worldly things. Okay, sitting in church, that's a good thing. I believe that's a God thing. I think that's something God would have me to do. I'm going to keep that in my life. What are you going to do this afternoon? Are you going to leave the church and go straight to the bar? There's people that do that. When you're sitting at the bar, think about that. One of the things that helped me transform my life is when I was sitting at the bar, I thought about what was going on in my life in that moment, and I looked down the bar at my friends, and I said, you know what? I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be doing this 5-10 years from now. Something's got to change. And it all started right up here. Paying attention to what's going on around me. Paying attention. And what do I think about this? Well, you know what? I don't think this is the life I want. I became willing to change. I realized that I was becoming I was a worldly person, but I wanted to be a godly person. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be a godly person? If you want to be a godly person, then you got to stop doing the worldly things. And the only way to do that is to be transformed up here by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, I need Pamela to thank you. Oh, thank you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What an interesting verse. I like the idea, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I like that a lot. You make a conscious decision to go after Jesus Christ, to draw closer to God. And you know what? He's right there waiting for you. He will meet you. He will draw near to you. But it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Are you going to cleanse your hands and acknowledge that you're a sinner if you don't think what you do is sin? I know some people that don't think that what they do is sin. Well, it's not a sin for me to drink. It's not a sin for me to cuss. It's not a sin for me to do whatever. Well, what's God's word say about that? That's what determines it. I'm not here to tell you can't drink and you can't cuss. I'm not. But you know what? I'll guarantee you that God's already speaking to you about the things He doesn't want you to do. In your heart, you know. Why? Because if you're drawing near to God, He's drawing near to you, and He's pointing up. Some light is starting to shine on some things. The book of John, chapter 3, you know, you keep reading after the famous verse, whoever, you know, believes, you know, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, that verse, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You continue to read on, and Jesus, because Jesus keeps talking, and He talks about coming into the light and letting the light expose, you know, your deeds. But the people that want to stay in darkness, they don't want to come into the light, so they won't draw near to God. But when you draw near to God, the light starts to shine on your deeds, and you realize, you know what? I'm a sinner, and I got dirty hands, and I need to be cleaned. I need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, and this is the interesting part, purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's another verse, I don't have the reference to it, but it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, think about that for a moment. Let's back it up the other way. I wish, Pamela, could you find me the reference to that? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's work that backwards a little bit. Is my life unstable? Are all my ways unstable? What's that say about me? It tells me I have a double mind. Excuse me? James 1:8. Let's look at that real quick. Thank you. Aren't computers a wonderful thing? Let's start in verse 2 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh boy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You got to change your way of thinking if you're going to count the various trials joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Some of you, I know some people that won't pray for patience because they won't want to have to wait for anything. You get what you ask for, right? God, give me patience. Okay, here's the situation. You're just going to have to wait this one out and trust me. Well, that's not what I meant, God. Well, that's the only way you get patience. How do you know you have patience if you never have anything you have to wait for or trust God for, right? But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I like lacking nothing. So I guess I gotta have some patience. If verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love that verse. Lord, I do not understand the situation. I need some wisdom in what's going on right now. Please give me some. What's it say? He gives it to you liberally. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Now, with no doubting. Again, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many have doubt? I doubt the situation is going to turn out good for me. I prayed and I'm not seeing anything happen. Therefore, no, he says, without wavering, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not, verse 7, that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Oh, man. Really, God? If we're going to stand in faith, then stand in faith. Believe God. But Lord, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and my bank account's still empty. Well, you're not working. How did you expect your bank account to grow? I love those, you see those things online all the time. Well, if you send this to 20 people, you will receive, you know, all this money by the end of the week. Well, I like that one that says, if you get your butt out of bed and you go to work at the end of the week, you're going to receive some money. Yeah. It's actually in there. He who doesn't work, neither let him eat, right? It does say that. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So, if you back that up, if my ways are unstable right now, is it because I'm double-minded? Let's be honest with ourselves. Going back to what this verse says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We do not want to be double-minded people. What's a double-minded person? Somebody who just loves the way of the world and won't leave it, but loves God and desires to have all the blessings of God. You can't have both. But I want my cake and I want to eat it too. Jesus said that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. And so, because we're still holding on over here, we don't get either. But if we would hold on, you know, if we hold on over here to the world, we don't get. But if we hold on to Jesus Christ, we get it all. It's you know what? Just be transformed up here. It's your mindset. The way you think determines whether you're a worldly person or a godly person. Let's look at this. The body, this is interesting. The body renews itself, but you choose whether or not your mind gets renewed. Scientifically, I did a little bit of reading, very little, trust me, very little research. But through my very little research, and sometimes maybe I'm gullible, I don't know, but certain cells of the body will replace themselves, totally replace themselves within days. Other parts of the body will, they say that within 7 years, as I've read anyway, that within 7 years, your whole body pretty much renews itself. The old skin, you know, the cells just fall away and new ones grow. Your body renews itself. It's just something God set into motion, but your mind, you choose whether or not that's going to be renewed. First verse that came to mind in Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you serve. What's he saying? Whenever you see the word choose, there's a decision made. It's about how you think. You made a choice to come to church today. Praise God. I'm glad you did. I hope that you found it a blessing somehow. I hope I didn't beat you up too bad with, you know. Trust me, I walk on my own toes as much as I walk on yours. That's the truth. I'm not one of those pastors that believes I'm so perfect and everybody should be like me. Please do not be like me. My first amen in the sermon. Hallelujah. My wife said, you weren't created to be like me. You were created to be like you. But the truth of it is, we were all created to be like Jesus. We're all created equal. Thank you, brother. We are equally sinners, and we are equally saved by grace. And we equally, because of free will, have the power in ourselves to choose what kind of person we're going to be, how we see life. The Bible talks about being content with what you have. Thank you, God. I have what I have. Would I like some other things? Sure, I would like some other things. If God gives me those other things, then I'll have those other things. If He doesn't give me those other things, I'll be grateful for what I have. I won't covet what my neighbor has. But you remember what the Ten Commandments? Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Well, God, why does so-and-so have all of that stuff and I don't have anything? Because I, God, chose to bless so-and-so with that stuff, and I, God, chose to let you have what you have. You know what I've found? That the people that realize and are content with what they have, they're people living in dirt. They have absolutely nothing, and they've got the joy of the Lord. When I was in India, I saw some of the most poorest people you could ever imagine. All they have is whatever that cloth was wrapped around their private parts. The only food they had is what they were able to muster up and find that day. And they couldn't wait to serve us. They couldn't wait to help us. And they had smiles. And when we try to give them something, they'd be like, no, 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 you keep it. Because they had a different way of thinking. We get so caught up with this world. We are so conformed to the ways of this world that we just, wow, God, help us to be transformed by the way we think. It matters. Paul says, I urge you, offer your bodies to God and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want everybody in this place to have joy. I want everybody, and I believe God does too, wants everybody in this place to have joy, peace, love, fulfillment in life. That's why we talk about the love languages, you know, learning how to love one another in a way that matters to each other so that you have fulfillment in your life. And some of us, the only thing keeping us from the joy and the peace and the love and all of that is the way we think. Think about what you think about. You can have the most awesome rest of the day today that you've ever experienced if you would choose to think the way God would have you to think. Or you could have the most miserable day that you've ever had. Hopefully, your most miserable day is behind you. Amen? And hopefully, and I know that our most awesome day is ahead of us because Jesus hasn't come out of the clouds yet. So I know that day is going to be like, wow. But what we experience here on this earth, there's still more awesome to experience. But if we refuse to think about what we think and make it line up with God's word, we won't reach it. We will not attain it. And that's why I find this to be so powerful. There's, you know, I look and I listen to spiritual teachers and preachers, and I also look and I listen to some secular ones. Why? Because even some secular ones, they can tell you some stuff that'll change your life. And this guy I mentioned earlier, whose life was just a wreck, and now he's full of joy, and he just goes out and teaches. I love that guy. He doesn't believe like I do, although I'm working on him. But I love that guy because he's tapped into something. He said, you know what? He believes that every person is put on earth for the simple purpose of spreading kindness on the earth. I can get in line with that. I can get behind that. That sounds like a God principle to me. But it's all about how you think. And so, if you are one of those who you just can't change your mindset, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, because it's your mindset that keeps you stuck. Talking to a brother the other day who's going through a situation, and I'm not going to get into the circumstance of it, but right now his life is a mess. Totally out of control. Something took place that he never saw coming. And it was a hard thing. But because I know he's a believer, I spoke a little bit boldly to him. I said, you know, the sooner you get to the place of acceptance, you know, I talked about the grief process, and it wasn't about the loss. We go through the grief process for many different circumstances in our lives. You know, denial, anger, bargaining, you know, the what ifs, all that stuff. The sooner you get to that acceptance stage, I've had people tell me, you know, after the loss of a loved one, that I've seen people go right from the loss to acceptance. Okay, they're gone. It's hard. Not everybody can do that. But I said to this friend of mine, I said, the sooner you can get to the acceptance stage, really, what that is the sooner you can figure out in your mind to decide that, you know what, my life is going to be different from now on, and I need to rejoice in what God has given me today. Not to give up on what you had. Remember what you had. It was awesome. It was beautiful. But it's not like that right now. Maybe it'll be that again someday. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But I know that today you're alive and well and you're breathing. God's fed you. And if you can get to that place in your mind where you can accept what God is doing in your life right now, count your blessings. How many do that? You ever count your blessings? Well, I got 20 things going wrong today, but this one thing went right. Hold on to that one thing. Focus your mind on God's will and way. Sometimes stuff comes along. I've had this happen to me, where I had to go like, you know what, God? I do not like this. I don't know what to do. And therefore, I'm just going to trust you. And wherever I end up, that's where I end up. Thank you, Jesus. And I end up okay. Thank you, God. How'd that happen? Well, I exercised some patience. I didn't doubt God, even in the midst of the mess. When it was all said and done, He blessed me. What if He didn't bless you, Pastor? Well, then, you know what? I would still have to keep my mindset focused on Him, trusting Him. Because I want to experience His joy and His peace in my life each and every day, and I can't do that if I conform to the ways of the world. You can't do that if you stay conformed to the ways of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stand with me. If you're struggling with your mindset, if you don't have that peace, if you can't get to that place of acceptance in your life because of your thought life, I want to pray with you. Because I know God has so much more for you. Say this with me. God does not want me to be miserable today. Or any other day. Thank you. This may be uncomfortable for some of you, but hold hands with your neighbor. If you don't have a neighbor, find a neighbor. And let's pray for one another that we will have peace and joy in our lives, and that God will help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and the power of it. When we would simply do what it says to do, help us to think the way that you think. Help us, Lord God, not to be conformed to the ways of the world any longer. Help us to receive your joy and your peace, even if we're being crucified today. I trust, God, that you do not want me to live life in misery. But God, that you want us to experience your joy and your peace, and be able to accept whatever comes our way. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, that's the Serenity Prayer says. Lord, bless the person on our left, bless the person on our right, and set us free from the mindsets that keep us away from your will and your way. Help us to think the way that you think. And for every person in this place to be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we turn our hearts to you and let you come and fill us. I pray this blessing on each one here today. May the joy of the Lord ever be in our hearts, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Yes, Sandy. Yeah, if you want to speak it in this microphone so we can all hear you. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Paul, would you give this to Sandy, please? You can say praise the Lord in there if you want to. Amen. Is it not on? Make sure it's on.
Is it on?
It's on. Talk right into it. Hold it right up, just like, yep.
My husband's been wanting to give me a car that's comfortable and blah, 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 all that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Talking about mindsets. So we looked at a whole bunch of them, like we looked at a Lincoln, not brand new, old ones, a little older than my car. And I didn't want them. I didn't want any of them. We drove a Lexus. I didn't want it. I didn't like them. But I was on my way to work on 5 and 20, and it was like the Lord was just really speaking to me about my mindset. Mm. Why didn't you like them? And I felt like I didn't deserve them. Mm. You know, I had that mindset. I got what I have. My car's paid for. It's 11 years old. And I'm going to keep it till I die. I don't want any of them. And then I felt the Lord say, don't you think that I can bless you? I want to bless you with something better. And I go, no, it's Steve. He wants to just stick me in something that he can be happy with. And the Lord goes, I want to bless you. Don't you believe I want to bless you? And I said, yes, Lord, but I don't want any car payments. And anyways, I felt him say, look at all the cars when you pass them by and see if there's one that jumps out at you. Well, I don't know what kind of car it was, but there was a red car that was pretty. And I thought, eh, you know, if I ever get a car, I want a red one. Well, we went back and forth. Stop it. We went back and forth. These two, I'll tell you. Anyways, we went back and forth and back and forth. We look at the car. We come home at night. I said, I don't want a car payment. My car's good. It runs good. Everything. We just had new brakes in it. I don't want a car payment. He'd say the same thing. You're right. I don't want a car payment. The next night he goes, I seen a car. Let's go look at it. Well, this kept going on. I said, I am happy with what I have. I said, I don't need anything else. I drive to Geneva and back. So it was all settled. We were keeping the car. I come home on a Friday night. He goes, there's one car I just want you to look at. I went, oh, dear God. I had to go in the bedroom and pray because I wanted to choke him. I go, I don't want another car. I don't want anything. So I felt like I just had to make him happy and go look. And it was a red Cadillac.
Ooh.
It's out there in the parking
lot. Hallelujah.
When I seen it, I felt the Lord say, are you going to receive it? And I'm still arguing. Well, I don't know what the payments are. But anyways, I think it was $4,000 I got for my car, for my Toyota.
Wow.
Yeah. It's an 2008, which is fine, but
praise
when
God.
I got in it and the seats were warm and it massaged my back.
Sandy, can I remind you of a word that God gave for me to tell you?
For
do you
me?
Remember? I don't do this often, people, believe me. I don't consider myself to be a prophet, but there are times when I just feel that God speaks to me for somebody else. Do you remember when I told you, Sandy, you are not going to die empty-handed?
Yeah. And you told Teela, you had one for Teela, too.
Yeah. Teela's is happening already.
It was just two things happened with her and I this week that was just suddenly.
I believe that is.
I ain't a Cadillac person. Oh, yeah.
Part of what God wants for you, Sandy.
That's what I've
You thought. Have struggled and you have strolled. And I just looked at you that one day and I just felt the Spirit of the Lord say, she is not going to die empty handed. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you for the red Cadillac that's out in the parking lot. Amen. Paul's all happy. He knows what them Cadillacs are like. Amen. God bless you all. I hope you have a great day. Thank you for coming. I hope I didn't beat up on you too bad about the way you think. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Love you all.